Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. I'm Maddie, and you are listening to an episode in our podcast series, Oh, the Places You Will Go, an SLP Spotlight, where I get to interview speech pathologists who have interesting positions in our field, from the very basic to the most interesting spots, places, people they work with, and all of that in between. I get to have the fun of just chatting with these SLPs, finding out what they do, how they got their jobs, and any words of advice they have for other SLPs. So listen as we explore all the wonderful things an SLP can do. Welcome, welcome to this episode. I am here with Dr. McKernan, who is just a firecracker on the business side of private practice speech pathology work. So welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Glad you're here. And I think our episode is going to be so fun because you're passionate about what you do, but you also come in heavy on the business side of private practice. So tell us who you are and about your background, why you became an SLP.
Yeah, so I'm Dr. Catherine McKernan. I've been a practicing speech-language pathologist for 9 years this year. And my history with speech-language pathology is old because my middle sister got speech-language therapy when she was a child, when we were children. And she actually went to the university clinic where I did my bachelor's degree for her therapy. So I have these funny memories as a child going with her to therapy and looking in through the, you know, the mirrored observation mm-hmm. window and watching her play Hi-Ho Cheerio and shoot some ladders and all the games that I now use in therapy.
Right.
So yeah, that's what kind of got me started with speech language pathology. And I love it. I've always wanted to work with children. And here I am doing it, living the dream.
Wonderful. Tell us about your practice.
So I've recently started a private practice. I've been working in private practices as an employee for 9 years since I graduated with my master's degree. And I always knew I wanted to own a business, and I always knew I wanted to own my own practice. And it's something that I've been thinking about and working on mentally for many, many years. And in March, I graduated with my doctor of speech language pathology from Northwestern. And one of the reasons I chose Northwestern for my doctorate was to learn more about the business side, like you said, of what we do, because that for me was always the missing link about, you know, where what SLPs can do in private practice. And that was always where I felt really intimidated by the business side of things. And so when I graduated for my final project, my culminating project of the doctorate program, I did a business plan for my private practice, which is called North Star. And I incorporated in the state of California, and I'm right in the middle of transitioning from being an employee for my old job to going full-time on my own with my own practice. So it's an exciting time full of fun changes.
Was that, even though you knew you wanted to do private practice from the very start, mm-hmm. was it scary moving over?
Oh, it's terrifying. It's one of those things where it's terrifying and exciting. And I have always loved Brené Brown. She's somebody that she really inspires me. And she has this great quote that I love where she says, choose courage over comfort. And for me, that's, I have it above my desk. And for me, that's really what I remind myself when I feel scared, because it is a scary thing to say goodbye to a regular paycheck benefit. And you know, all the things, all the nice perks of being an employee. It's really scary. And so I keep reminding myself I'm choosing courage over comfort. And this scary time is an opportunity to be vulnerable and grow.
One of my favorite quotes goes along with that. Those who are brave about those who are brave enough to think about changing the world are the ones that do.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. And it's like, you have to think about changing the world, but then you have to take it a step further and do it, right?
But it doesn't mean we all have to be in private practice and have these incredible private practices. It just means that we need to be brave and step into what areas of speech pathology we want to pursue. I have a coaching business on the side, and I work with people who are like, I do not like my setting, and I'm caught. And we change it to, I don't like where I'm at now, but I'm going to transition to where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's why this interview with you is, I was excited when I woke up this morning at 6 a.m. because this is a woman who looks forward to the transition and is working her way through the transition.
Yeah. And it's uncomfortable. The transition is uncomfortable. Yes. But I mean, that's one of the things I love about our field is that if you find yourself in a position where you're not happy with what you're doing, there are lots of options, and it might mean that you need more training or more experience in a certain area, but you can make the transition, but you just have to be constantly seeking learning opportunities and take the risks.
What was the hardest risk for you transitioning? What were you most worried about?
For me, it's like the fear of failure. I feel like, you know, I could handle financial distress to a certain extent. And with the way that our field is, I know I can go get another job if I need it. You know, if I was really failing at this business thing, I could just go get a job and that would be fine. But it's like setting aside the fear of failure from an ego perspective, kind of. And it's scary to tell people your plan and to say your big, do you know what a BHAG is? A big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm taking this BHAG, my big, hairy, audacious goal of starting my own business, and I'm saying it out loud. And then I started to say it out loud more, and then now it's becoming a reality. And I always have in the back of my head that fear of failure. And so I think that's the biggest thing is learning to accept that there will be failures and that failures are okay and they're an opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm. Funny you say that, because yesterday another professor and I were meeting with a group of students, and I thought I had sent, you know, you reply, and I thought I had replied to the whole group with the Zoom link, and I had just replied to another professor. So she and I just were sitting there waiting for the students to show up. And of course they didn't show. So we quickly reached out to them. And when they came on, they were just laughing. And we were like, what are you guys laughing about? And they were like, we are so glad you guys make mistakes like this. So I think if we were more true with one another, we would tell one another we do make mistakes. But the difference is in the successful and the happier clinicians, we use those as launching pads to become better and to fix a problem.
Yes, totally. And everybody makes mistakes. And once you kind of accept that you will make mistakes for your entire life and let go of the shame of mistakes are not shameful. Everybody makes mistakes. You just have to like own the mistakes that you've made. And the only time a mistake is truly a mistake is when you don't learn from it.
I love that. What has been one thing since you've started your private practice that you've been surprised that you didn't expect to have happen?
Oh, that's a hard one. I mean, like you said, I love the business side of things, and I've felt like I was really ready for it, and I've taken all the classes, and I've done, you know, a bunch of trainings, and I'm working with a great team. You know, I have my attorney and my accountant, and I still am running into things where I'm so overwhelmed by the business part of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to use QuickBooks and how to bill my new patients and to talk to them about money and actually collect for the services I'm providing. And I think when you have this kind of fairy tale in your mind of what private practice is going to be like, you don't think about you know, your accounts and, you know, your bank and kind of the more administrative side of things and how much harder that is, even for somebody who felt really prepared going in. It's challenging. There's a steep learning curve. And so I think that has surprised me. Like, I felt really ready. And even though I felt ready, I still am like, whoa, there's a lot to learn, which there always will be, right? It's lifelong learning. And if you're not learning for your entire life, you're doing it wrong.
Right, right, right. And that includes being brave. If you stay where you're at, you won't get where you want to go sometimes.
Yeah.
Why did you take, the obvious answer would be because that's how you run a good business. But what words of wisdom then do you have for the speech pathologist who is going to be launching her own private practice or dreams about it one day?
Yeah. Well, I would say, I think that, you know, obviously the clinical side of things is really important. And I think that that's what we tend to get overly focused on. We think that an expert clinician makes a great business owner, but I don't believe that. I think you can be a really great clinician and not a great business owner. And so, you know, I think we need to balance our clinical skills with our business acumen. And that's not easy, but there are so many amazing resources out there and free resources. There's lots of really great Facebook groups where SLPs are talking about business ownership. I recently started watching a bunch of accounting videos on YouTube, and they're wonderful. It's just really basic accounting for managers and something that is like a 101 class for business students, but something that I've never heard of in my entire life, all this accounting lingo. So I would say, you know, don't be intimidated by the stuff you don't know. It's okay that you don't know this. Not everybody can know everything. And there's resources.
What are some of the top resources that you use?
So I love, I'm trying to remember the name of the accounting YouTube videos I've been watching. I think it's called EdSpire. I'd have to look it up, but I can look it up and send it to you. Those have been really helpful. There's also a continuing learning platform called Coursera, 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 yes. Which is really great. There's so much stuff on there.
And what was
it? Has a lot of really good resources. Do you want me to look it up right now?
No, you can send it to me and we'll put
it in. Later.
What was the first site that you mentioned?
It's the YouTube video. I think it's EdSpire, but I'm not 100% sure that that's the right name.
Okay, so we'll put it in the show notes as well.
Okay, yeah. And then LinkedIn Learning has some really good resources too. And like I said, there's some great Facebook groups. Those tend to be more of people sharing their experiences, which I think pairs nicely with data, which is what you would get from taking courses on something like Coursera or LinkedIn Learning, or watching YouTube videos about accounting or finance or management or advertising or whatever area you're interested in. I love Harvard Business Review. They have some really good resources too. I paid for a membership for the Harvard Business Review site for a really long time. Because I love how research-based they are with the business management side of things.
You and I were talking before we started about one of my favorite terms is lean, and you're the first person to ever pick up on it. I often use the term lean, and that is a manufacturing term approach, and you know about it. Can you tell us a little bit about what you know?
Yeah. So I was telling Maddie before we started recording, I did a presentation at ASHA last year, and I presented about how to use two manufacturing methodologies. One is called Lean and the other is called Six Sigma to improve operations in private practice. And so Lean is based on the Toyota production system. Six Sigma was created by Motorola. And there are ways to lean is a way to improve the efficiency of an organization, and Six Sigma focuses on reducing errors. So even though they were created by two different manufacturing organizations, when you put them together, you're highly efficient and also low error. And the idea is that you can create a really great product for reduced costs with improved customer service. And they were, like you said, they were created for manufacturing. But now in, you know, any business school, they're going to, in operations, they're going to talk about Lean Six Sigma and how we can use that in the service industry as well. And you can get all sorts of trainings in Lean Six Sigma if you really wanted to go down the rabbit hole. But that's something that is, can be really, really helpful. I would say it's more for like a larger organization for improving operations, but it's a great way to, like I said, provide a higher quality, lower cost service that will make your customers happier.
I like how you think outside the box and look to other industries for inspiration and models. When I was teaching last year, we had a lot of students that kept, you know, professor, what about this and what about that? And so I developed what I called touchdowns at Lean and Agile touchdowns. And we I'm laughing because seriously, this is the first time in an entire year anybody's picked up on why I'm using the term Lean. And the touchdowns are based on that Lean model. Mm-hmm. And they've just been wildly wonderful. So,
yeah. I like how you say, you know, it is really important to look outside of our field. Mm-hmm. We're only one field. And, you know, even if we're looking at research to support anything we do, whether it's operations or actual client care, clinical work, we don't have to be blinded by the research that exists in our own field, because we know there are limitations in our field, but we can look to other healthcare disciplines and also to other industries for the answers that maybe the actual speech language pathology research doesn't provide.
Well, my husband and I laugh because he would make a horrible therapist, like zero, almost zero empathy and compassion, but he's like massively successful in the business world. And I would be horrible in the business world. But I like that I can pull, you know, the good parts, the talent, not the talented parts, but the passion, compassion parts that make me a good therapist, and draw in on, you know, the business part for him. And how many times I worked quite a bit at a hospital, and I just wish sometimes that the businesses I work for follow more of a business model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important, because at the end of the day, if your business isn't profitable, you can't provide services to the people right. who need them. And I think that that's something we forget about, because, and I hate broad generalizations, but I'm about to make one. I think that, like you were saying, people in our field tend to be really caring, really compassionate. And I think that there's this misconception that if we're charging for our services, or we're charging a certain amount for our services, or we're not giving things away for free or reduced price, that we're somehow doing somebody a disservice, that it means we're not caring or not compassionate. But owning a healthy business allows you to provide better care. And so at the end of the day, that is compassionate. If I were going into bankruptcy, I wouldn't be able to provide care to my patients.
Or provide a stable source of employment for those that you pull on in your private.
Yes, practice. Absolutely. So I don't think it has to be one or the other. You can be a good business person and also be caring and compassionate and empathetic.
What has been one of your biggest challenges?
In life or business or speech language pathology?
Whatever you'd like to share with us.
I think that for me personally, I want to go black and white with things, and I'm constantly having to remind myself that it doesn't have to be one or the other, which is why I say it out loud a lot. And you know, you don't have to be so rigid about the research that you're not taking in the evidence that the patient is showing you, you know, within themselves. You don't have to be so focused on what the patient or the client is doing. you completely ignore the research. You know, we can mix these things together, and I think that's where we're going to get our best end result.
Good answer. If you were to do this over again, what would be the first thing that you would do?
If I were to start my business over, or...
Right. I know you've just started it.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm really at the beginning. I've done, like we were talking about earlier, I've done little things where I've made little mistakes that at the time felt really big and gave me a lot of anxiety and that I literally lost sleep over. And then I just fixed them. And I learned, and now looking back on it, I'm like, I can't believe I lost like 14 days of sleep over, you know, having to change my address at the state. Like, you know, things that now seem just so tiny and just not a big deal at all. So, I mean, I think it comes back to don't put the small stuff, and it's so much easier said than done. It's so easy to say like, oh, next time a little thing happens, I'm not going to get hung up on it. And I know that I will. Because, you know, I'm a human, and that's what humans do.
Right.
But you know, I think for me, I'm learning not to get caught up on the small things, and that just because you made a mistake doesn't mean you're a failure.
Those are words that we tell, you know, the students all the time that I work with, and we should remind one another, look at the positive, come from a place of strength rather than a place of negativity and of fear. So mm-hmm. You've been brave. You lived into your dream and stepped forward.
It's scary and exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish you luck. Tell us again where we can find you.
So you can find me. My business is called North Star Speech and Language Pathology Center. So my website is northstarslpc.com. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook at North Star SLPC.
Wonderful. And those will all be in the show notes. Well, thank you for your time, Dr. McKernan.
Thanks, Maddie. Thank you.
I hope today's conversation has created some aha moments for you and motivated you to become a better SLP. Continuing to connect some of those missing links between what you know and how to use that knowledge. Thank you for downloading the Missing Link for SLP's podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, I'd love you to subscribe, rate it, and leave a short review. Also, please share an episode with a friend. Together, we can raise awareness and help more SLPs find and connect those missing links and get the information needed to help them feel confident in their patient care every step of the way. Follow me on Instagram and join the Fresh SLP community on Facebook. Show notes are always available, so come learn more at freshslp.com. Let's make those connections. You got this.